All right, Revelation Road. Revelation Road. I hope you've been enjoying this teaching as we've been moving down the road to the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ through this teaching, and been getting some good feedback from folks, and encourage you to get the CDs or just go online. It's free right there if you have the computer access, and get that teaching into your spirit, because we are tonight going to be on part six. And yeah, it's already moving along. I just can't believe that. And I don't know if I'll keep putting parts to it, because I think I know where I'm going with this in a further detail, but I don't want to just jump the gun. So last time we got together on Revelation Road, I'm going to go over some of this to just bring us to our remembrance. Some of our notes here, we're talking about the three rafts of Revelation. I talked to you last time about that, the three rafts of Revelation. Again, a lot of pastors don't speak on that because, again, if you're a pre-tribulationist, you're gone. So you don't worry about these things. But if you're a student of the Bible, again, you'll find out the truth is right in the Word. And you have to go to the Word. You can't go to your books or denominational leaders or whatever you were raised up in. You have to go to the Word of God. And as I've said from the get-go, from the beginning, I had to do that myself. Being a teacher, I loved Bible prophecy. It was the first thing I did when I got saved, man. I read every book I could. And as far as I was concerned, I'm out. Come on now, I'm out on the first load. I was gone. And give me some hang time and I'll wave at you as I went. How many know what I'm talking about? And I had to learn from Scripture that wasn't so. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to find out where it is, where it belongs, where the truth is of that word. So the first thing is the wrath of the Lamb. So where is that? Who's what is that? Is that a phone? That's an awesome phone ringtone. Is that me preaching or somebody else? Just throw it outside. That's all you have to do. Stomp on it. I have never been interrupted by another preacher by a phone. That is awesome. Live streams wonder what's going on. We won't mention, even though the spotlight's falling her, we won't mention whose phone just went off. But I guess her phone went off, and it's a preacher. It's not like he's teaching. So he wants to compete with me. And that's not going to happen. She's going into the restroom. I think she's going to flush it. So if we have plumbing problems tomorrow, it's an iPhone. Some of them are waterproof. So live stream, that's the way it goes. It's just live. So why don't we start all over again? How's that? Joshua, you got some editing to do tonight. Now, let it flow. Literally, let it flush. Did you take care of it? All right, no problem. Boy, you're red over there. Wow. Instant suntan. Don't worry about it. We pick on everybody, everywhere we go. Okay, where was I before this guy interrupted me? I was talking about the wrath of the Lamb. So we're going to talk about those three wraths. Number one's wrath of the Lamb. Did you have that up there? Okay, look at your notes, man. See, I don't need that writing board. You're just too awesome. So the wrath of the Lamb, that was in Revelation 6, verse 16. I believe I gave that to you last time, right? That talks about at the start of the tribulation. And then we have the wrath of Satan. And then the wrath of God. So there's three wraths represented in the book of Revelation concerning the last days. And so when people say, well, we're not appointed unto wrath, you're absolutely right. We're not appointed unto God's wrath. And I'm going to get into that later. So that was Revelation 12:12 for Satan's wrath, and then Revelation 16:1 for God's wrath. Just remember, as this little side note, last time I told you this, Jesus had 3.5 years of ministry. The devil gets 3.5 years of ministry as well. He gets the same opportunity. And it's almost like God says, let me see what you can do. Are you here? And that's what happens. And you say, well, why would God do something like that? Because God is a fair and just God. He's a fair and just God. And so he allows the enemy to have his shot and his opportunity, because there is still law that God designed from the Garden of Eden. I don't have time to go into the whole prophecy of Jesus in the garden. I've taught this many times, but God allowed Satan a specific boundary, and he said, you can't go past that boundary. And so God shows himself fair, and then God also allows man in his free will to make a decision. Religion forces you to do things. Relationship says, if you want to. Let me try that again. Religion forces you. You must do this. You must. Relationship says this. If you love me, you'll follow me. If you love me, you'll accept me. If you love me, you'll walk with me. Isn't that great? Okay, so we talked about that, about the wrath of God. And then I said this last time, you know how people say, well, God will not allow his children to go through bad things. Remember that? And then I said, what happened? Jesus was crucified. The apostles, the 11 of them, were martyred. One was boiled in oil. The Catholic Crusades, the genocides around the world, the Spanish Inquisitions, ISIS, on and on it goes, and the righteous do suffer bad things. It rains on the just and the unjust. There's bad things that happen to good people. And so that doesn't work in the whole pre-trib theology, the whole pre-trib, actually it's heresy. It doesn't work when it comes to the Word of God, that God wouldn't allow me to go through some stuff. Now, that doesn't get very big amens from people, because, you know, we live in a great land, quote unquote, where we don't have that necessary threat of being in church right here and having protesters out front and people who want to violate us. But all around the world, there are people who live on the edge just by the cross, just by being a Christian. So tribulation does happen to people. Okay, so I like to always throw that out there. Then we went to Matthew chapter 13. Remember that? Let's go there real quick. We're not going to do the whole thing. Matthew 24 through 30. And then I'm going to show you the answers to that real quick. So if you just throw that up there real quick. Matthew 13, 24 through 30. And then I'll explain that parable, okay? Remember, Matthew 13 is one event, not two separate events. It's one event, and that's where people get messed up. They say, well, it's two separate events. It is not, and he explains it. So let me go real quick. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field. But when he slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou now sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? Okay, so what's going on here? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we should go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Okay, go ahead and go to verse 36 real quick. Let's skip ahead. Okay, so you can read the rest on your own and go back to the CD. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and the disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. So explain it. Well, he loves to explain. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the who? Son of man. The field is what? The world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is who? The devil. The harvest is what? The end of the world. And the reapers are what? The angels. One more verse. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned into the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. Go ahead and go to 43 all the way. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of the Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Wow. So what is that? That's one event, not two separate events. And what you just saw was a parallel to Matthew chapter 24, when Jesus said after the tribulation of these days, what would happen? The angels would go to the four corners of the earth and gather the elect. Is that right? Absolutely, that's right. So we talked about that last week. Man, I want to just go over everything again and again because there's so much good information. And tonight we're gonna plow over some other ground that we went through. So let me see what else I can give as a refresher. Okay, I think that'll be it for that. A lot of good stuff last time we got together. We talked about the parousia, the appearance, and again, we're going to talk more about that. Remember all the scriptures in John chapter 6, verse 39, John chapter 6, verse 40, how he said that he would raise him up when? At the last day. Okay, so again, if you don't have this full teaching, you kind of get a little lost where we are, but I'm going to try to, each time get together, put it into pieces so we can see it clearly. Part six, here we go. We're going to kind of connect the dots a little bit, all right, and get some of this information out to you. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about the day of the Lord, because it's very important that you write that down. And next to the day of the Lord, put rapture, put resurrection. Because when you find parousia, which is the coming of the Lord, you're also going to find the day of the Lord. And not only are you going to find the day of the Lord, you're going to find the rapture. And you're going to find the resurrection. In order for it to be true biblical doctrine, it must connect line upon line. Okay? It can't be a square trying to shave its ends and make it into, you know, a whole. It doesn't work that way. And a lot of people do that with doctrine and with teaching. They'll say, well, you know, it sounds pretty good, and it makes people jump up and down, and they give big offerings, and they get really excited about it. Well, that's not true biblical doctrine. True biblical doctrine is when you can follow the lines upon lines, precept upon precept, when you can connect the dots, and then you can speak clearly about what's taking place instead of saying, well, you know, this is kind of what I think it is. Okay? And by the way, we're going to kick over a golden calf tonight. We got another calf we're going to kick for the pre-tribulationist view. Is that cool? All right. I love kicking over golden calves. I actually like eating calf, but if I can't eat a calf, I'll just kick it over. All right. The day of the Lord, write this down, has been used 22 times in the Old Testament. The statement, the day of the Lord, this is according to the King James, it's documented 22 times in the Old Testament. Now, I want you to stop for a second and think about this. Again, I told you the pre-tribulation rapture view is not that old. It goes back to around the 1870s, somewhere in there, 1800s. I told you it might have went a little further in the late 1700s with a thought, and then it became a doctrine, and then it went wild throughout American seminaries and blah, blah, blah. So it's really not that old, okay? How many of y'all know the Word of God is old? It's the Ancient of Days. I mean, the Word has been around for so many centuries, for so long, and has been preserved. So when I look at this, and I see that the day of the Lord is mentioned 22 times in the Old Testament, it tells me that God had something he wanted to say about the future. In other words, it was so important that he put it there, and it wasn't to be considered a new doctrine. Follow me now. It was to be considered truth. It was to be considered part of the bedrock theology and understanding of all of your great priests, your high priest, your under shepherds and people who were raised up in Israel. They knew the law. They knew the Word of God because it was ingrained in them as a child. They're not like the schools of today where you learn, you know, secular things. When they went to school, they learned about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, they heard the story over and over again. So it's very important that as we go into this teaching tonight, we understand that. So 22 times it was used in the Old Testament. Now, I'm going to refer to Paul because I believe Paul understood something about this. Let me try that again. I think Paul understood he was going to be the next high priest. Paul sat under Gamaliel. Paul, which was Saul, he sat under great teachers, and he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. You remember he gave his whole doctrine, his whole pedigree, if you will, and he talked about how much he was in zeal for the Word of God, which at that time was the Old Testament. So I think Paul knows what he's talking about, don't you? Okay, so we're gonna go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, because again, that's the bedrock scripture for all pre-trib, okay? And we're gonna look at some of that and some of these particular sayings in there. Just go ahead and go to verse 15. I think that's where we'll start out. Let me see what's up there. I don't have it. Okay. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, say remain. Remain. Remember that word is to survive. It means to come out of peril. Okay? Unto the coming. The coming, what is that? The parousia. Anywhere you see the word coming concerning the Lord, it's his parousia or his second advent or his appearance, or another word is his official visit. Okay, look it up. You'll see it in the Greek. Coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So we get real excited about that and say that's the rapture. Well, it is a rapture. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So I taught you last time in those other teachings, we got to find the Lord coming down from heaven. We got to have a shout. We got to have a voice of the archangel. We got to have a trump. And then we got to find people raising from the dead. That's called resurrection. Now we taught you the last time that Jesus is the firstborn of the dead. He's the first fruit of the resurrection. So if he's the first fruit, then there's a second fruit. Guess who that is? Me and you. And nobody precedes anybody until this day. In other words, there's not another rapture. There's not a secret rapture. I've heard all kinds of teaching, man, many raptures here and there. And you just think that God plays with yo-yos. Seriously. Whoop, come on up here. Whoop, come on up here. Whoop. It doesn't work that way. Jesus has one assignment, and that is to deal with the nations of the world with a rod of iron and rescue his people. And that's what he's going to do. Okay? So go on. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. Where? In the clouds. So I got to find clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So when I take this information, I must be able to find it somewhere else in the New Testament for it to be doctrinal truth. And pre-trib can't do that. Pre-trib says, it's right here. That's all you need to know. No, show me in the book of Revelation. Show me where some of these elements are, and then I can believe you. So that means between chapter 1 and chapter 4 of the book of Revelation, I should find all that. I don't. And you never will unless you cut and paste and make your own Bible. It just doesn't happen. In Revelation 4, chapter 4, verse 1, when John is told to come up hither, is not the rapture. It's taking John to another view to see things the way God sees it. There's more I'm going to teach on that whole thing as we go along and just, you know, kick over those cows. But it messes people up because they stop right here and they say, that's it right there. That's it. That's the doctrine. No, you can't. You got to show me more. So as we got together at those other times, let's go ahead and let's move on. So go to chapter 5. Go to chapter 5, verse 1. Okay? And what we're going to do now is we're going to connect these dots. We're going to put it together. But of the times and the season, brethren, I have no need to write unto you. Go back just for one second. I'm sorry. But of the times and the seasons, remember times and seasons, because that goes back to my first teaching, the first day. You have no need that I write unto you. If the rapture is a secret rapture, how come he just said that? Think. Use your brain. Be a critical thinker. Be in a court of law. You are a jury, and I'm giving you evidence. If it's just going to happen and no man knows the day or the hour, and I'm going to show you at the end of this teaching that that's not necessarily the way you've been taught. And it's going to blow your mind. Some people are going to, I probably have to get inhalers. But we've been told wrong to make it fit for our Christian, American Christian mindset. And it sold billions and billions and billions worth of dollars worth of stuff. Because 90% of the world, if you will, and I don't have that as a scientific number, but the majority of the world, how's that, does not believe pre-trib. I can promise you that. I've been to many places of the world, and they don't believe that. Okay. So, but of the times of season, brother, you have no need that I write unto you. Oh, okay. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. 22 times in the Old Testament. Now use your brain for a second. Watch this. Paul doesn't have the book of Thessalonians in front of him. Paul doesn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Paul has the Dead Sea Scrolls, or he has writings that were the Pentateuch, and he has the major and minor prophets. He has the written word, the best that it could be preserved, and it's been recited to them. Remember, he wasn't out there working on his pitching arm when he was in school. He was working on the Word of God. Remember the scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good? You ever heard that scripture? Taste and see that the Lord is good? Well, what was that? Well, what they would do is they would take the Hebrew letters of the alphabet and of certain scriptures, and they would have them carved out, and they would pour honey inside of them. And so whenever they want them to learn the words and learn scripture, when they got it right, they could dip their finger and taste and see that the Lord is good. So that stuff was ingrained in them. They didn't do it for a career. They did it for love for God. That's the way they were raised up. So Paul was, if you will, an expert. So he knew what he was talking about, the day of the Lord. And everybody he was talking to knew about it, except us. Because we got Left Behind series, and we got all these, you know, 6-foot icicles, Jack Frost, leading us in a whole different path than what the Bible said. And it gets people mad, but I don't care. It's the truth. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Wait a minute. We were just talking about the rapture. I'm confused. No, you're not confused, because there's no break in 1 Thessalonians 4 and chapter 5. There's no break. It's a continuous thought. Our Bibles give us breaks because that's just the way it was written. But it was not written or translated, but it was not written that way. It wasn't spoken that way. It was a continuous thought, unless it became another book, or he moved, the scene changed, or what have you, as in the book of Acts, when Paul went on his trips. Okay, so I'll go back to that. I'm sorry. For yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord, so cometh as a thief in the night. So two things you have to see here, the day of the Lord and the thief in the night. So if this is speaking of the rapture and there's a connection between 4 and 5, which there is, then I got to find the day of the Lord, and I got to find that, oh, that stinky, sticky little comment, thief in the night. Because everybody knows that's spent any time in church, that the thief in the night is about the rapture, right? Come on, man. Don't make me sing Larry Norman songs right up here because I'm about to do it. Remember that? I wish they'd all be ready. Man, I love that song. You know, I loved watching those movies back in the 70s and The Thief in the Night and the UN was coming. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, wonderful but bad doctrine. Scared everybody. And I remember growing up, we'd bring people over just to scare them. You need to get right, man. Watch this, dude. All right, let's go. So I got to find a connection. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Wait a minute. How's that the rapture? Oh, because we're out of here. He's not talking about the rapture alone. He's talking about a continuous event, just like in Matthew 13. It wasn't two separate events. It was one event. Watch. As destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Read that with me. And they shall not escape. What does that mean? You ain't going nowhere. You can't escape. It'd be like being at Alcatraz or wherever. I think only two guys ever got out of Alcatraz, wasn't it? Yeah, FEMA camp, whatever. You can't get out. There's no escape. There's no way out. It's like being married. So watch this. Boom. Where's my drum? All right, verse 4. But you guys are rough tonight. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Remember, the word thief there in the Greek is klepto, for kleptomaniac. So you're telling me by pre-tribulation doctrine that my Savior, your Lord and Savior, is a thief. Because he's got to steal me away. No, he won my heart a long time ago. He don't have to steal me away. He don't have to steal you away. But when you try to fit that doctrine into the scripture, that's what you make it seem. And that's how you imply to the Lord. You can't do that because he's not a thief. You're not in darkness that they should overtake you as a thief. So he's talking about what day? He's not talking about the rapture, because the rapture, no man knows the day of the hour, right? That's what we're told. So how can I know the day? But he said, I know the times and the season, but I don't get it. Well, no, you don't get it when you look at it from a pre-trib view. But when you look at it at the day of the Lord, then you get it. Okay? So let me see. You are the children of the light. Somebody say amen. And the children of the day, and we are not of the night nor the darkness. Okay. That's good gospel news, isn't it? All right? So write this down in your notes. The rapture and the day of the Lord are connected. They have to be. And if I can't prove that to you up here, by the time this is all done, then what I've told you is not accurate, it's not so. Just like they cannot put this together properly because it doesn't fit for them, because it's not truth. All right? Is this good? Have I made anybody mad yet? Just hold on. I'm going to try right here. Let's go to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3, and I think I'm just gonna read a little bit there. Is that cool, Jennifer? Yeah, verse 1. I'm sorry. 2 Peter 3, verse 1. All right. Second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both, which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that they may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by who? The holy prophets. The day of the Lord was mentioned how many times? 22 times in the Old Testament. And so what did Paul have to go by? Paul did not have the Ben Faircloth Commentary Bible, which I don't have one. Yeah, I made one. But you know what I mean? He didn't have any of that. He had that word from the prophets and of the commandments of the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Watch this. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of the parousia? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Stop right there. Why is he talking about the fathers, and why is he talking about creation? Because, again, the pre-tribulationists, they look at one particular scripture, one period of time, and they don't put the whole thing together to see the full counsel of God. God had the end figured from the beginning. And as I began on the first teaching of this, the end times, really the last days, began in the garden when Adam fell. Because there was no time before Adam. It was eternal bliss. But when he committed high treason and he sinned and he was cast out, man began to decay and the curse took over. And therefore, man's time was now limited. And how many of y'all know, we're not like Methuselah. We don't go real far in age. So we're not evolving, we're decreasing. And saying, so where's the promise? All right. For this they willingly are ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water, what happened? It perished. Is that Noah? Go on. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by this same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Somebody say amen. But that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord shall come as a what? A thief in the night. The day of the Lord. What was Paul speaking of? He was speaking of and coming to the understanding of the day of the Lord, which was spoken by who? The prophets, the holy prophets, and by commandment of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise. Now what is he doing? He's comparing in this in whole context, he's comparing what happened with Noah and the flood. So if he's talking about a great global judgment then at the beginning, if you will, nearly, now he's pointing towards the end, and just like the beginning was, there's going to be another judgment towards the end. Is that correct? And it will be called what? The day of the Lord. Not the secret pre-tribulation rapture. Not the I'm out of here party. Okay, with a great noise, elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Let me see if I'm going to go any further. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? We'll stop right there. So, in other words, if you know this whole thing's going to burn up, why are you acting like a dummy? Why are you acting so sinful? Why are you trying to hold on to everything like they're going to chunk it in the casket with you and it's going to fly up into glory? Huh? I mean, unfortunately, as a pastor, I've been to many funerals and you know, they chunk stuff in the casket. It's like, you probably should grab that Rolex real quick if you could, ma'am. I'm just playing. But you get my point. Ain't nobody going to get it but the grave digger. All right. So, go to now the Zechariah chapter 14. Yeah, people, there's all kinds of crazy stuff. One guy got buried in his car. I mean, I'm just like, dude, you're not going anywhere. You're not taking nothing with you. All right, so let's go to Zechariah 14, chapter 14. Go ahead and begin in verse 1. I'll read a couple verses, probably to verse 4 or 5, Jennifer. So let me see. Behold, oh my goodness, what does that say? The day of the Lord. How did that get in there? That's Zechariah. That's Old Testament. Behold, the day of the Lord and thy cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord shall go forth and fight against those nations as he fought in the day of battle. What is he talking about right here? You ready? Connect the dots. Armageddon. The day of the Lord, Armageddon. I'm starting to see something here. The day of the Lord, Armageddon, thief in the night, rapture, resurrection, parousia. We're on to something, aren't we? Right. Let's go. And his feet shall stand that day upon where? The Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives... Olive shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove towards the north and half towards the south. So what's going to happen here? His feet are going to touch the Mount Olives, isn't it? Okay, now I got to find this other connection. I got to find his feet touching. Don't I? For this all to connect, if this is all so, if it's all true, if it's all yay and amen, then I got to find his feet somewhere touching in the book of Revelation in order for it to be more true of a doctrine. Is that okay? More truer. Because you can't do this with pre-trib. You can't. It doesn't work. Because you can't find anything I've been telling you right now. You cannot find it in the pre-trib teaching from Revelation 1 to 4. Sorry, doesn't work. It doesn't work. And if we were in a court of law right now, the chains would be coming off the prisoner and you'd be sending them home. Because you have no evidence to prosecute. Next, I think verse 5 maybe. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Aziel. Yea, you shall flee. And like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah, and the Lord thy God shall come. And all the saints, what? Oh man, this is getting thicker now. What is he describing? He's describing the book of Revelation. We're going to go there. I'm not going to put my finger on it yet. We're going to wait. Might be a couple more teachings. But we're going to find all this. So now I got to find the saints with him. This is Old Testament. This is an Old Testament prophecy. Why? Because it wasn't a newfangled ideal that was, you know, birthed onto the earth in the early, late 1800s or what have you. It was the plan of God from day one. He's not going to leave the rapture and all this stuff to chance. Just as I spoke to you about Matthew chapter 24 about the word elect. The elect has nothing to do with the Jews. It has everything to do with those who are born again. You mean to tell me that God would be willing for all of us Gentiles to be in the darkness and only talk to the Jews who don't read his Bible and care about him anyways? Don't even care? He's going to leave the end times to that? That's how silly this pre-trib thing is. That's how silly these books that you and I have read. And I tell you, I'm right up there. I read it. I preached it. I'd fight in the parking lot. Man, I'm like, look, I'm out of here. Y'all can stay. So, okay, let's find a comparison. Go to Acts chapter 1, verse 11. So there should be some comparison, right? There should be some more evidence. Remember, there's always precursor of information that leads to the exact information. And that's what we're doing. The precursor part is Zechariah 14. So let's look at this. What happens here? Oh, this is Jesus ascending, right? You men of Galilee, why you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come, how? In like manner as you see him go into heaven. Well, what's the comparison? He was standing on the Mount of Olives. Where is his feet? Right there. What does Zechariah say? His feet's coming back. I don't know if he's going to do that, but you know what I mean. He's going to touch. In the same manner. So again, I got to find this, to find the day of the Lord, to find the rapture, to find the thief in the night. I got to find it all for it to be my final answer, right? I think, let's go to the second, next verse. And they return. Okay, so yeah, it's right there. Don't you love the Word of God? I love it because I love the truth. Okay, so we're going to go to Joel chapter. How much time do I got? Oh, that clock's got to be wrong. Somebody had their phone ringing earlier, so I should be able to stay a little longer. I'm just kidding. We used to always say that when somebody was late. All right, 10 minutes longer, that person there was late. And they're like, I'm just messing. Kind of. All right, Joel chapter 2. Go to Joel chapter 2, and I'm going to try to hit these real quick, and then I'll make a note to myself to come back to this, because I'm only on the first page of my notes for tonight. But I do want to knock that calf over before we go. I really do. I love hearing that thing just crying out. Just go to Joel chapter 2. Just begin there. Excuse me. Begin there. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm on the holy mountain. Why? It's a party? No, you blow the trumpet when there's war. That all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For what? The day of the Lord cometh. Man. For it's at nigh. It's at hand. Watch this. A day of darkness and of gloominess. A day of clouds and of thick darkness as the morning spread upon the mountains. So I got to find that again, don't I, somewhere? I must find the day of the Lord and all that stuff that I just read there. All that description. A great people and a strong, they have never been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it. That sounds like the end, don't it? Even the years of many generations, a fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as of the Garden of Eden to them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses and of horsemen, and so they shall run. Like the noise of the chariots in the top of the mountain shall they leap, and like the noise of the flame of the fire that devoureth the stubble, and that's a strong people set in what? Battle array. So this is about a war, isn't it? Before their face the people shall be much pained, all faces shall gather blackness. And they shall run like mighty men, and they shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march every one of his on his own ways, and they shall not break their ranks. In other words, it's a mighty army. Neither shall one thrust another, or they shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city, and they shall run upon the wall, and they shall climb up upon the houses. And they shall enter in as the windows like a what? Thief. Scratching my head. The earth shall quake before them, and the heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. And the stars shall withdraw their shining. Didn't we see that somewhere else? How about Matthew chapter 24? So I got to find this again because this is a prophet. And a prophet prophesies, right? And the prophet is, if it's of God, and we know he is because it's the word of God, has to be accurate. So we got to find that. All right? And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his words. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide in it? Therefore also know, saith the Lord, that you even to me with all of your heart, or turn you even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. Now, go to the book of Revelation chapter 19. We'll touch on this, and then I think I'm going to have to give you my golden calf slaughter and then get out of here. Is that all right? just go there. Just go to verse 1, I think. I'm going to just... Sorry, I should tell you that. I figured you'd know me after all these years. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, and did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And they said, Hallelujah. And he spake, and smoke rose up forever and ever. Okay? And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat upon the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. And the voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all you servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. So there's something about a battle, something about receiving the blessings. And he said unto her, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto to me, These are the true sayings of God. Go ahead. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See, thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is what? The spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make what? War. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns, and he had a name which written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven did what? Followed him upon horses clothed with fine linen, white and clean. Sounding like Joel now, doesn't it? And out of the mouth goeth a sharp sword, that which it should smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes, sir, you are. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, To all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. So what's happening there? That's the battle of Armageddon. The great feast. Okay, we get the marriage supper of the Lamb, but the fowls get the feast on the carcasses. You may eat the flesh of the kings, and flesh of the captains, and flesh of the mighty men, and the flesh of the horses, and them that sit on them, and all the flesh of all men, both free, bond, small, and great. I hope you're listening to this in Washington and all around the world. You better know Jesus. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to do what? Make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken with him, and the false prophet, somebody say hallelujah, that wrought miracles before him, which have been deceived, them that have received the mark of the beast. You get the mark, you get deceived. And them that worshipped his image, they were both cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. So I'll stop right there. So is there a comparison between Joel chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 19? Absolutely. I don't have time to go there, but write this down. There's a link between Matthew chapter 24 and Joel chapter 2, verse 10. All right? Hoo-wee. I got more to give. So let's go to our golden calf. Y'all want to do that? Y'all been waiting on that. Let's do that, and then I'll look at the rest of this. I'll come back to this next week. Go to Yeah, go to Matthew chapter 24. Let's hit this one golden calf. Can you give me 10 minutes, please? Okay, that was two of you. All right. 10 minutes. Because, you know, you're going to need this ammo. And when I say ammo, I don't mean to go out and just slash your family and your neighbors and say, I told you. I told you they were wrong over there. You don't want to do that. What you want to do is show them in love. Because this is so hard to get people to see. Because we've been so ingrained in our Christendom and our Christian teaching in America that we're out of here. And you know what? I wish that were so. Though I guess that would be pretty cool. We'd be gone and not have to face stuff and whatever. But that's not true. So, but when I say ammo, I just say information. This will help you because I know a lot of you are being challenged and your family says, well, I'll tell you how I believe. Give them the Word of God. It's all you can do. Okay? And it may take you to the end of all this teaching to kind of put it together because right now we're just cramming this, you know, this foot-long sandwich and we're just trying to make it work. But the Lord will help you, okay? The information will settle, but you're going to have to study more than just being in here. That cool? Matthew chapter 24. Go to verse 36, and I think I'm going to have you go down to 44. This is a huge pre-trib scripture. I've used this on people all the time. You've used it. It's in songs. It's in movies. Well, let's go ahead and kick this thing over before we go. But of that day and hour, no man knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. We're not going to tackle that one yet. But as the days of Noah were, so also... What is that? The coming of the Son of Man be. Okay. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Stop right there. So right now in context, we're talking about Noah and a flood. We're talking about Noah, a flood in judgment. Is that right? Please say yes and write it down. Noah, flood, and judgment. Not secret rapture, right? Do you see rapture? Do you see wings flying away? Not yet, because you won't.
Oh, yes, we will. I'm going to prove it to you. Write in these next couple of verses, preacher.
Okay, go on. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So also shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Look at this. And knew not until the flood came. What was the flood? The flood was judgment. When did it come and how did it come to them? Like a thief in the night. They didn't know. Even though Noah said it's going to rain, even though he sat there and built the ark, even though he looked like a crazy long-haired bearded dude. Come on. Giraffe, you know, eating grass, looking at this guy. He still hammered away, did what God told him to do, but it came to them like a thief in the night. So shall the coming of the Son of Man. There it is again, the coming, the appearance of the Lord. Verse 40. Oh, here it is, preacher. This is where I'm going to prove it. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. See, that's the rapture. It is not. In context, it is speaking of judgment. It's not speaking of departing. It's speaking of judgment. You can't pull that out and say, no, it means this. That's not what he's talking about. He said Noah and the flood and comparing it to what? The coming of the Son of Man. So that means to me that if I have the coming of the Lord connecting with the rapture and the resurrection, then that means judgment's got to be somewhere around there too. And if the first known judgment, if you will, was the flood, and we know it's going to be like Noah's day at the end, and it's not going to be a flood but a fire, then I know the coming of the Lord, the resurrection, and the rapture must all be together right there. So let's prove it some more because, you know, we got people doubt. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and the one shall be taken and the other left. I wish they all been ready. Watch therefore, for you know not when that your Lord doth come. In other words, be sober, be awake, because you don't know when the Lord will come and bring forth the judgment. Watch. But know this, if the good man of the house had known in what watch the who? The thief. Here we go, back to the thief again. Would come, he wouldn't have watched, and he would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Next verse. Therefore, be you also ready for such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. What is he coming to do? He's coming to judge the world in righteousness. That's what the parousia is. The bonus is we get to go with him. We get to go with him. We are part of that resurrection. But for years and years, we were taught this, and I taught it. You know, see, you're going to be at the gas station. And pump number 5 is going to, poof. Then what are you going to do? Huh? I used to threaten people all the time. What are you going to do when I'm gone? Like, finish your sandwich? I don't know. Take your stuff. I mean, and it sounds cool, and it's so Christian-y, and it's the way we, razzle-dazzle, and we're going to beat people up. No. And then you know what happens? We go through these cycles and bad times, and Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. And then the sinners look at us like, dude, you guys are nuts. You guys are nuts because it hasn't happened. Well, you just wait and see, bro. That's not the answer. The answer is, let me show you the scripture. We're going to be wheat and tares. We're going to ride this thing, and I'm going to show you later on in the teaching where it all ends up. Is that okay? But we got to kick that calf over. That has nothing to do with the rapture. That has everything to do with judgment that is coming upon the face of the earth. How's that? All right. Father God, we love you. Thank you for this opportunity of teaching tonight, and just help it to sink into our hearts and show us even better revelation and greater revelation on our private study time by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, just weed out the things that we are taught in error, and just sow into us truth. We want to walk in truth, Father, not to use it again to harm anybody, but so that we can be ready as a people and to be fully aware of what's going on in your time frames. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, I love you. See you Sunday. Be blessed.